Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All Saints is a very special day in the history of Christian tradition. For instance, Martin Luther, as we remembered last week, nailed his 95 theses to the door in the church in Wittenberg on October 31st. Not because it was some sort of Halloween celebration, but because he wanted the people of Wittenberg to wake up on the day in which they remembered the faithful departed. And he wanted to see that and give them hope that even though the Pope and the church was teaching otherwise, maybe, just maybe, their loved ones were already in heaven and not in purgatory, as the church was teaching at the time. Now, I doubt many of you grew up believing very strongly in purgatory or that your relatives were there. But most of us at one time or another in our lives encounter loss. We lose. We lose our parents, our friends, our family, our grandparents. We lose, and sometimes we lose a lot and often. Remember, I think it was my sophomore year of high school, there were like five people who died or something in my life, and had left an indelible mark on me. It was a time of grief, a time of great loss, which I suffered severely. But just as we lose, there is also hope. There's also hope that we will come out of the mourning. That though we know that death lays hold on our lives and the lives of ones that we love, that death is not the last word. Death is not the final say. That there is more to loss than just grief. There's also joy in this resurrection. We can rejoice that the promises of Jesus Christ are true. And the promises throughout Scripture. We heard about it in Isaiah. Isaiah talks about this place on the mountain, this place with this great feasting. Now, as I was reading it this morning, I was thinking about the well-aged wine. As an amateur vintner myself, I'm not making that wine. Or at least if I am, I apparently drink it too quickly because it doesn't taste that good. So I look forward to the feast that God is preparing. But more than that, we've seen there a beatific vision of a future reality that is better than the ones that we can make for ourselves. Because no matter how happy of a home we make with each other, how blessed of a life we create here, our lives will still end in death, will still end in loss, one way or another. But the future that God makes is something far better, not just because he makes better wine. It's better because he makes us one with himself, makes us one with one another for all time, for all eternity, in ways that are better than we can ever imagine. I also love, this is probably my favorite vision of Scripture, from Scripture of what the afterlife will look like. It's one from Revelation. It talks about, I looked and I saw there was the holy city, the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth descending upon us. What a wonderful place. The new heaven and the new earth, where God is making all things new, where the first things have passed away, and the future realities become our present realities, when all the pain and anguish that we encounter at one time or another in our lives just falls away and gives way to the new Jerusalem. What a holy thing. What a holy promise. From the book of Revelation, no less, which has many harsh tribulations and chaos and war to speak of. And yet out of that chaos and tribulation and war that is so familiar to many of us throughout our lives, once again comes the new heaven and the new earth, where mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. I rejoice that God makes all things new. As I mentioned in the children's sermon yesterday, I was at the service for Eugene Peterson. Eugene is probably the most famous Christian writer and guy to come out of Northwest Montana, definitely in the 20th century, if not ever. He's well known for his many works. He had kind of like a, I don't know, evangelical Christian classic in his work from the 70s that he published. What's the title? Is Long Obedience, something like that to the title. But many works, but his most famous of which is his translation of the Bible, called the Message Version of the Bible. I imagine many in our pews have read it. Message Version comes from his pastoral experience, serving as a pastor for nearly 30 years in Bel Air, Maryland, where he started a congregation there. And in his pastoral work, he recognized that much of the language of many of our Bible translations are not how we speak the faith to one another, and just how we talk in general, right? The vernacular of the ancient Greek and Hebrew is quite a bit different than what we've adopted in the 20th century and now into the 21st century, in English no less. And his work has had great impact on Christians all across the world. So much so, I think it was 3 years ago, the famous singer from the band U2, Bono, he flew to Kalispell and it was like this big thing just to go meet with Eugene Peterson and talk about the Psalms with him. What a wonderful thing. I was pretty star-studded when I moved out here. And to be honest, I didn't actually read the message much before coming out here, but I read an interview with Eugene. I was very moved by how he talked about his faith and how he talked about small communities like ours and how small communities do such a wonderful job at really fostering authentic faith and in ways that some of our larger congregations across the country can kind of get away from as they grow and get into performing more than paying attention to the nitty-gritty of living the lives of the saints together. So I called him up, right, and met with him. He lives just around the bay from our Lutheran camp up south of Lakeside there. And it was a wonderful conversation. It was very inspiring to me as I was a neophyte minister in Ronan, Montana. But a couple weeks ago, Eugene in his 80s, 85-year-old man, his age caught up with him, and he died. And yesterday, we laid him to rest. We had a wonderful memorial service for him in at First Presbyterian in Kalispell, and with overflow seating across the street at Bethlehem Lutheran. You can do that now. They streamed the service across the street. The place was packed. And not only was it packed with people, it was packed with Christians. It was packed with people of faith, whose faith had been moved and formed by the man who we were laying to rest yesterday. As much moving out of, or one of the more moving things out of the service was that there were five speakers and or preachers who spoke. I've never encountered a service like that. Sometimes I shared the pulpit with like one guy, but five, wow. Beautiful, beautiful poetic speakers and preachers and the legacy that Eugene left for the rest of us. And I was especially moved by his son who gave the homily. And he talked about the fact that Eugene had carried as young children all six of his grandchildren, held them in his arms, held them in his arms, carried them around the room as we ooh and ah and ogle at our children, like it's the best thing in the world. Everybody should do that, right? And he did that with his grandchildren. And yesterday, all six of his grandchildren carried his coffin into the church and to the grave. The grandchildren that he had carried as little babies now carried him. What a beautiful imagery for our life as the church, our life as the body of Christ together across time. That we would carry one another. That we carry one another as we are children and can't walk yet, can't hardly do anything for ourselves. That we carry one another through the middle ages of our lives as we seek out careers and have unknown decisions to make about who to marry, right, and where to live and what houses to buy or to build or whatever, what careers to take. And that we would carry one another in the end of our lives when we can't walk so well anymore, when we need a little assistance getting in and out of cars. And finally, when we need to be carried to the great beyond. That is what the church is. That is how God loves the world. And that is how God ushers in each and every week in our lives and promises to us again and again and again the new heaven and the new earth. Beautifully, we hear from our gospel reading my favorite verses from the Bible. In our translation, verse 35, they use too many words in this translation. It says, Jesus began to weep. The Greek, this is the shortest verse in the Bible. The Greek has two words. It is often translated, which I prefer. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Jesus knows what it is to be at the coffin. Jesus knows what it is to lose a friend. Jesus knows what it is to lose somebody nearest and dearest and closest to him. And it is out of that loss that Jesus brings and ushers in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth, the new place where we will all dwell in peace and harmony. Joined in the resurrection, the Son of God himself. That is what we rejoice in today for ourselves, for one another, and most of all for the faithful departed who have gone before us. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.